Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. This is part 1 of
Hosea 9, 1 through 10, after our current events update. This is a racist symbol. The other is a flag. True. That guy's something else. But that's a current events update is, to start with, just because someone's called Reverend doesn't mean they're a real preacher. And we're going to talk more about that in our Bible study. But here's something interesting about BLM. I think I got that right. Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Antifa riots that the news media is not telling people. They are largely fueled by what we would call white trash. If you go do the research, you'll find out that there are some black leaders involved in this. But most of the rioting, looting, and damage is being done by stupid white people. And, of course, we would say they're unsaved. We would hope no professing Christian is out there. Do you want to say something? Al Sharpton, or as I like to call him, Al Sharp Tongue.
Is he like a pastor or something? Because I only saw him on ESPN.
Yeah, he's been on MSNBC as a talk show, and he pretends to be a preacher, but he doesn't spend any time in ministry, in a real ministry. His entire life has been, he's called a political activist. What he's basically done is he does shakedowns. He falsely accuses people of things and says, now we'll stop falsely accusing you if you give us money. And that's what he's, yeah, race baiter. We also call him a poverty pimp. But these riots you're seeing on TV, though, are largely fueled by white trash. This guy's a liberal journalist. I say that because what he's about to say proves the point. But he's no Donald Trump supporter. He's not a right-wing fundamentalist. He's not a conservative. He's not. You know, he's a liberal journalist. This picture is him on the Young Turk broadcast, which is a far-left liberal program. And he's welcome there. But he probably won't be after this. But he's come out. He was interviewed on a publication called the National Review. And the National Review, if you may remember, in 2016, was an anti-Trump, never-Trump outfit. Again, just to demonstrate that what you're hearing or seeing, what you'll hear me quote, isn't coming from sources that people could just say, oh, you just don't like the BLM Antifa people. That's not the case. This was an interview that Michael Tracy did with National Review, and it was titled, What He Saw at the Riots. He said, the scale of the destruction is unlike anything I have personally seen before, and most people have, you and I have not seen it, because they won't put it on the news. And they block people from getting in and actually getting video and pictures. He says, and it's unlike anything I understand to have occurred in the United States since at least the 1960s. I'm not even sure that the 1960s civil unrest is an apt parallel for a variety of reasons. One being that much of what occurred then were straightforwardly race riots. Whereas the riots of this year, 2020, were distinctly multiracial in nature and, listen, often instigated by activist whites.
Wow.
rather than subjugated poor and working class blacks. I'll tell you why. Because the working class blacks are just you and I with black skin. Or in your case, just like you. If you got black skin, you're a worker. You work. You work to do what you're supposed to do and work to earn your keep. Then that's you. You too busy working to be out rioting. And you're not the kind of person that will burn and loot places. And if you are, then you'll be in prison soon enough. Portland has a culture of perpetual protests that is distinct. Listen to this. Almost as a kind of recreation. It's also an overwhelmingly white city, which partly explains the zeal to keep a nightly protest going in perpetuity. To be at, this is still that liberal journalist speaking, Michael Tracy. Quote, to be at the Portland protest zone on a Saturday past midnight is surreal. It does give the impression of a small-scale insurrection with black-clad, overwhelmingly white protesters in full armor and gear. And here's another load of white trash with a couple of partially black, partially white people thrown in there who are funding the defund the police movement. And I don't even know who some of these guys are, but Brad Pitt, whose mother is a good, decent woman, what's his name? DiCaprio, whatever is it?
Leonardo
DiCaprio. Pizzeria. Daliano. I don't know. I don't watch their junk. I don't waste my money making these people rich. So I don't really know who they are, and I don't care. But I do know that they are unbelievers who reject Jesus Christ, and they think you are an idiot if you don't reject Jesus Christ. They mock and make fun of believers. And they are funding. The guy in the middle, by the way, is John Legend. He's about a third white. And then you got the, I don't know who that, who is this on the far, the second from the right?
Lady Gaga and Rihanna.
Rihanna? So whoever they are, if you know who they are, they're funding the defund police, but I'll tell you this, they've got a wall around their house. They have armed guards. They are lying hypocrites. If they really believed that we should defund the police, then they'd give up their armed guards.
Yeah.
And I'll give up my guns when these hypocrites give up theirs. So this is Michael Tracy's own article. And the only reason that matters, the reason why does white matter? Because black lives matter. That's why white matters. When you're claiming to be black lives matters, when you don't give a flip about black lives, that makes me sick. They do not care about black lives. Black lives have been gunned down for the last 2 months and they don't say a word about it. They are only concerned about this. It's bilking stupid people who will give them money. They are raising millions of dollars on the death of George Floyd and two other people. I can't remember their names off the top of my head right here recently. 80%+ of the money they bring in goes into their personal bank accounts. They're con artists. All of them are. And there's plenty of other groups that are as well, but right now this is the hot one. This is you drive around the street, what do you see? You just see all these Black Lives Matter signs and all that. Well, no, it's a free country, but you see, it's a free country. That's why I'm practicing my freedom and exposing the fact that they're a bunch of lying crooks. And this is on a liberal website, medium.com. 2 months since the riots and still no national conversation. You know why? Because they don't give a flip about black people. It's not about blacks. And it's not about police systemic racism. That's a myth. There's only one reason why. First of all, there's twice as many white men shot as black men by cops. The majority of black men shot by cops are shot by black cops. That does not translate into what's called systemic racism by any measure. But I'll tell you what, there is a problem in this country, and it's basically what I would call systemic liberalism. And that's where they stir up the race hatred. They don't care how many blacks they get killed. They stir up the race hatred in order to get money. Black Lives Matter to the Democrat Party every 4 years. So that's what Tracy's basically saying. He says, quote, Fort Wayne, Indiana doesn't immediately come to mind as a likely candidate for a riot location, but one nonetheless took place. A coffee shop employee told me that their window was smashed by white kids with skateboards. White kids busting out windows in the name of Black Lives Matter. Whereas riots motivated by consciously insurrectionist ideology consisting of arson attacks and other actions intended to maximize chaos appear, listen, to have been largely instigated by left-wing activist whites. That's why I call them white trash. And it's white trash are the problem in this country. White liberals are white trash. White liberals hate the Constitution. White liberals hate the Bible. White liberals hate conservative Americans because conservative Americans love the Constitution. White liberals hate Bible-believing Christians because they hate your Bible and your Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I go out on the street and I don't go looking at these white liberals and say, hey, you big piece of trash, repent. I don't say it to their face, but if we have a conversation and they are persistent and need a rebuke, I've said it to a few of them.
Amen.
And I'll continue to do that. Why? Because they got a thing missing in most American men today. It's a thing called a spine.
Amen.
And I don't care about making someone upset whenever they need to hear the truth.
Amen.
The same eyewitness testimony is found nationwide but censored by our Democrat news media. They're not visually impaired. They go in these neighborhoods and see what's going on. They've watched Detroit turn into a hellhole under liberal Democrat rule for decades and done nothing. They're watching dozens of black people gunned down in Chicago every week, and they say little to nothing about it.
Yep.
As liberal journalist Michael Tracy explains, listen to this, quote, maybe the media commentators who reflexively glamorize these riots don't know or don't care. But the primary victims of these riots, meaning those who feared for their safety, suffered severe material losses, and whose lives were upended, are themselves minorities and were targeted by activist whites. Think of that. Your news media in this country brainwashes people so badly that they can take a movement made up largely of white trash attacking colored people and tell you that it's blacks doing it. You know why? They want a race war. And they'll get their race war over my dead body.
Amen.
I'm going to continue to tell blacks and whites to stop being stupid and believing your government officials and news media.
Amen.
You think for yourself. You demand proof and evidence and documentation, and you don't believe nothing you see on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Channel 4, 6, 10, 28.
Amen.
Don't believe it unless or until you go prove it one way or the other.
Amen.
Amen. All you got to do is get in a car and drive. I mean, if you really want to find out, go drive through Gary, Indiana and Fort Wayne. Go to Louisville. Those places aren't too far away. Go on up to Chicago during the daytime in certain neighborhoods.
Might just come out.
So our Democrat news media is described by the prophet Isaiah, by the way. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Again, what's the first two words, first three words? Woe unto them. Woe unto our news media.
Amen.
Woe unto our education system.
Amen.
Woe unto most of the people in power in the United States of America right now.
Amen.
That's why I've used this little shot before. Don't trust the corporate media. The corporate media is run by left-wing activists.
Amen.
Or they're run by people who are controlled by left-wing activists.
Amen. Right.
But the best news the world ever got came from a graveyard, not a news channel. He is not here, for He is risen.
Amen.
And so we will continue to make our priority in talking to these lost people is to preach the gospel and call them to repent.
What is that saying about Buddha?
Buddha, here lies Buddha, here lies Muhammad, here lies Confucius, Moses, Mary, John the Baptist, they all died and stayed in the grave. Only Jesus rose from the dead. And we're in Hosea chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, where the Lord continues His confrontation and condemnation of apostate Israel. When you hear the word apostate, it means that it's still someone who claims to be a believer, but they are totally not a believer. And a lot of preachers stand up in the pulpit and pretend to be preachers, but they're apostate. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't really believe the gospel. They don't believe in heaven and hell. And that's why they're such crooks, because they don't believe there's a payday coming, but there is one. There's a payday coming. And that is true in Israel in this time of which we read about 700 years before Christ, or about 750, 800 years, somewhere in there. Hosea chapter 9, beginning verse 1. We're going to read just the first six verses. Join me in the even verses. "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy, as other people. For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt. And they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto Him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day, and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them, Memphis shall bury them, the peasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles." All God's people say amen. I started to trip over my own tongue there for a second. Appreciate y'all belling me out. Verse 1 begins, it says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people." Why would He say that? Doesn't God want us to be joyful? Not when you're in apostasy, not when you're backslidden, not when you're in rebellion. As a matter of fact, a happy apostate makes God sick. You'd imagine how sick He gets of Joel Osteen. That man stands up there and smiles and smiles and smiles and never preaches a biblical sermon. Why? Because only positive sermons aren't biblical. There are two sides to your battery, two sides to a coin, and every message you see preached by Jesus Christ starts with the negative and then has a positive ending for those who will accept His message. And you listen to His gospel. I've listened to it a dozen times where He supposedly preached the gospel. He never talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He just says, "You want to be saved? Let's say this little prayer with me." Yeah, Doug?
When you read the book of Proverbs, it talks about in the first chapter about the dark sayings. You know, it's the good and the bad. You know.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And you know, if you turn on anybody, and all you hear is fluff. There's something wrong with that, because if you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know that Jesus wasn't all fluff. And if you read the epistles, you know that the apostles were not all fluff. Read the book of Acts. Their sermons were so negative that they would stone them. And in Stephen's case, they gnawed on him with their teeth. It should disgust people when they turn on the TV and see what's on most of the TV preachers today. What's coming out of their mouth. And it makes God sick. That's why he talks about Laodiceans who think they're okay. They're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. And he says, I would spew them. That means to vomit. When I first heard that taught, the guy was a youth leader, and he was trying to bring a good illustration. So he took his water bottle, and then he went. He said, that's what God wants to do to these people. And at the time, I thought, oh, well, that's pretty good. But that's actually not good. That's not really what God's talking about. Isn't just spewing something out of your mouth in the sense of water. He's talking about vomit with the bile and all the chunks of food and all that nasty stuff. You say, why do you have to be so graphic, Greg? Because God said it. And it is that graphic. That's how sick you should be. We're supposed to love things God loves. We're supposed to hate things God hates. So when we see people like that deceiving millions of people, it should make you nauseous. And if you actually do get sick, please go out back.
So, truthfully, people deceiving people like that, it's like when they give God the flu. Or COVID.
It doesn't say he's actually got a disease. It says, but it makes him want to vomit. And so it's just like having a weak stomach. When you see something, some of you get acted like you were going to, you know, spew when I just described it. And so now you know how he feels. But the verse continues and closes. It says, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. And I just want to stop there. I don't want to pick on anybody, but I've heard people say they read Hosea, there's just not much in there. Take them to this verse and ask them what that means. I mean, most people have no idea what he's saying. And what he's basically saying is that Israel chases false gods like a whore who shows up during harvest. Meaning, it's a prostitute showing up when she knows you got the paycheck.
First of the month.
There's more women on the streets the first week or two. Now, God will save that whore if she'll repent.
Yeah.
Amen.
And God will save Israel, at least the individuals who would repent.
Amen.
And with all this warning, it's amazing how very few repented. And that's what's going on in America again today.
Yeah.
I've even talked to people who are Christ-rejecting, wicked people, and they'll say, well, I remember my grandma used to tell me about what it's going to be like in the end times, and we certainly are there. And I just, dumbfounded by it. I said, well, don't you think you should get right with God before it's too late? Oh, no, I just enjoy my sin. I'm not kidding you. That's how they respond. Well, that's what Jesus said, John 3:19. This is the condemnation. Rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So that lays the groundwork as we continue in verse 2, which says, the floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. In other words, business has not been good for the whores of Israel. And we're not... He's using the prostitute on the street as kind of a picture. But he's saying this to Israel. And Israel has whored itself out to all the false gods and made friends with the pagan countries around Israel. And it hasn't done them any good.
Yeah,
and in America, more and more churches and Christians are now saying, I don't really believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. I don't don't really believe you must be born again. I think that if you're sincere, you're all right with God. And so then they hold hands and join with them with false religions and everything. And then the next thing you know, well, that was about what it was like in the 80s. Then came the 90s. They said, well, I know God wiped out Sodom. And I know Romans chapter 1 makes it clear that He hands them over to a reprobate mind if they don't repent. But you know, I think, you know, you should be able to love who you want to love. And we should be welcoming as a church. And the next thing you know, they're allowed to sit in the pew, men with men, women with women, holding hands. And they have their directories and the pictures taken, men with men, women with women. And then eventually they took them officially into membership. And the next thing you know, they're in the pulpit. And that's done what for America? We're heading towards economic crash. You better learn how to grow some green beans and corn in that little yard of yours. I mean, seriously, I'm not one of these. And please don't go to Jim Baker and buy his stuff. I'm not saying to do that. But I'm just saying you better start. Should have years ago started thinking about trying to be debt free, having some money in savings, owning your own home, or at least being in a situation where you know you can pay your rent, even if you lose your job. Those are all things to work towards. Now, you can't do that overnight, but if you haven't done that, then it's time for you to start making some headway that way. Get some food that is non-perishable. Get you a Berkey water system or something where you can take water out of the Allen Creek Lake and pour it in there and it'll purify it and you can drink it. Those kind of things. Yeah.
So I work at Chipotle and stuff. And so today I was going to pack with my boss. And so he had like these big, like, you know how like you said, like grow your own food and stuff?
Okay.
He literally, so I think they literally get their rice and stuff from the farm. Like he had like these big bags.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, that's a good idea. Jenny and I have a bag in the back. It's like, how many, 50 pounds or something like that of rice, you know? Now, I'm not a big rice eater. But I guarantee you, when Greg gets hungry, he'll eat rice. You know, so. And then you can always put, you know what? I was so poor one time. I ate for like a week. I got these 10-cent things of potato flakes and a big thing of rice. And one day I'd make the mashed potatoes and I'd get packets of ketchup. And that's what and then I ate rice, and my mom had no idea at the time I was that destitute. I still lived in the same town, but I was kind of on the outs with everybody, and I didn't want to beg. And so for a week, I lived off of instant mashed potatoes and instant rice with ketchup and mustard packets mixed in. But you know what? That doesn't sound good to me at all right now, but I remember I was that hungry that it tasted good. Yeah. Johnny?
Yeah. And Dad, should tell you one of his creations.
It was before payday, the only food I had in the house was green beans, cheese, and bread. So I made me a green bean cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what's really bad? I made a second one.
Yeah. Hey, some of you have never been hungry. But if you get real hungry, you'll eat that stuff. Look over Psalm 115. I want to show you this. And starting right in verse 1. Jenny, are you there? Read verses 1 and 2 there.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us.
Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?
Linda?
But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hand.
Now look at the contrast there. Our God is in the what?